Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
The prettiest display as the Addicts edge out Bradford, but 3 points are 3 points. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here from the Valley on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here in the studio in SC7 as we get ready to look back at yesterday's 1-0 win over Bradford City, Mr. Terry Smith, the grand old man of Charlton Live. And you look like you're feeling very old as you, as you're walking into the studio there.
Gardens are horrible things. Evening everyone.
Are you well?
Yes, yeah, about ish.
Yeah, and I'm here. Looking forward to reliving that thrilling 90 minutes that
I think that second half will long live in the memory.
Yeah, for all the wrong reasons. It's post-traumatic stress disorder is what we're all suffering from, I think, after yesterday.
I think that's what it is. My body seized up after watching that yesterday afternoon.
So there we go. It's a 1-0 win over Bradford City here at the Valley yesterday, thanks to Lyle Taylor's goal. It certainly wasn't the most exciting game we've ever seen, but we will relive it today. Leaves us, of course, in that very healthy position in the league table. We're now 12 points above Peterborough, who are the team in seventh. They didn't play yesterday. So that means, I mean, we have got a really, really healthy gap above the rest of the chasing pack in terms of that race for the playoffs. So we're looking pretty dead certs for that. Peterborough haven't even got a game in hand on us. We're on the same amount of points. So playoffs are 100% certain now. It's just a case of whether we can still catch Barnsley. We've got a game in hand on them. They're 9 points ahead of us. So if we win that game in hand away at Wickham, we'd be 6 points behind them.
I've been thinking, and I've got the running as well for all the teams that that are in the mix, as it were.
So is it thinking that did you back in?
Yes. Yeah, I've been told not to do it. I don't listen. they got some tricky ones. To be fair,
because I think we went through the running for Barnsley specifically on the big match preview, and I said, nah, no chance. But I'm glad to see you're coming at it from a different angle. I mean, they've drawn Was it three out of the last five?
And that's
five?
The thing. It's the dropping of points. It's not necessarily them losing is the issue. It's whether or not they can maintain an unbeaten run between now and the end. Yeah. And to be fair, it's probably not just about Barnsley. It's about Sunderland as well and Portsmouth.
Well, Sunderland have got that heartbreak, Checker Trade Trophy heartbreak that they've had this afternoon as
they
well.
Should so know, could... They should know. Don't bother going to Wembley anymore. It's just.
Did you see it? They
no, I didn't.
When he went to the penalty shootout, Mickey Gray was in the crowd and they zoomed in on him. I was like, oh yeah. Still there to haunt
I
you.
I bet
he
loved that.
Right, so on tonight's show, we are going to hear the highlights of yesterday's win over Bradford City. We're going to hear, of course, from Lee Bowyer, came in to speak to Terry after the game. Lee Bowyer is also going to provide a little update on the fitness of Lewis Page, because that's something I saw people talking about throughout the week. So I asked him that yesterday, so I've got that clipped out for you. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, Headphones Norm. I was so delighted to
that
see Headphones
superb,
Norm get the Pride of the Valley Award yesterday, because he is just the Charlton face. See, I remember talking to him after an away game at Arsenal, which shows how long he's been going. But obviously he's been going a lot longer than that. He's just one of those faces that you cannot go to a game without seeing.
Anybody who's travelled for Charlton, home or away, in the last, getting up for 50 years, isn't it, really? Would have seen Headphones Norm. They just would have done. He's a fixture. Yeah,
exactly. He's a face. He's a Charlton face. And because of that, I want to ask you, who else are the Charlton faces? Who can you not go to an away game without bumping into? It might be someone who you know quite well, who isn't actually that well known. It might, of course, be Sebo, who is obviously the main one there as well. But people like Headphones Norm, who are the unsung heroes of travelling away to Charlton games that you know? It's almost like a comfort blanket when you've travelled all the way to the wilds of the northeast or something, and you're feeling a long way from home, and then you see that familiar face that reminds you that you're there with your Charlton brethren. So let us know who else is the Charlton face. We want to know your opinions on the game. I'm also going to play you a very short clip about something really strange that happened to me while I was trying to interview Johnny Williams yesterday, because the manager of our opposition, Gary Bowyer, started heckling me, which is something that I've never had before. So I'll try and play you a clip of that and let you know what all that was about. So have your say on tonight's show. Anything you want to talk about, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show as well, and you can have your say. I want to know, are you paying too much attention to that performance yesterday? I mean, Lee Bowyer summed it up pretty nicely when he just said, move on. You get the 3 points and you move on, you forget about it. I mean, I saw there was some anger on Twitter after the game yesterday, people saying, oh, if we can't put away a Bradford team like that, what are we going to do in the playoffs? But then are people forgetting that not 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we completely outplayed Portsmouth, who are right up there as well? I mean, is one performance really, really that worried? Especially against a team that, with all due respect, I mean, we just about had to turn up and beat as well. So anything you want to say about that? Are you worried about that performance, or was it just a one-off? Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life forum. There's a thread on there. Terry, just before we hear the highlights... I mean, by tomorrow, I'm going to say Monday morning, I probably would have forgotten this game's happened.
I think I've already done it. the only thing I'd probably take it to task on is that where you say it's a one-off, because one, I don't think it is, and two, I don't think it will be either. We play the type of formation, I think, that lends itself to oppositions being able to nullify us when we're not quite at it. Or I mean, they came with a game plan yesterday, Bradford, and those the two wingers they had, it was Hall and O'Brien, wasn't it? Ball and O'Brien, beg your pardon. Looked threatening the whole game, certainly in that first half for sure. Because of the way we play, quite narrow way we play, they sort of exposed us in the wide areas. And I think that we're going to have to get used to that. I think, especially in the running, where teams are going to try and figure us out, the likes of Luton especially, but teams and teams that we've got to play that are down the bottom, by the way, you know, you're looking at the likes of Rochdale, Gillingham to a lesser extent, Oxford, they're all going to try and play the same way. If you remember Oxford here, they did a similar thing. Burton did a similar thing. You know, we're going to have to come up against teams who are going to do that to us. And so I think we're going to see more of these scrappy games. And if we win every single one 1-0 and play rubbish, I'll settle for that.
Think about that run in when we won the league under Chris Powell. Horrible 1-0 wins against Leighton Orient, against Walsall. Was that?
And I think next week's going to be the same. Plymouth, Argyle away, they're going to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, looking forward to it already.
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. It was Greg Stubley and, of course, Terry Smith over there on Valley Pass running us through the fixture with Bradford City.
Again, it's Reeves with it. Is he going to keep it away from the six-yard box? It does in this occasion. Bow with a header, but it's over the bar.
But it's encouraging signs from Charlton that he got there in the first place. Just couldn't keep it down.
Side of his Butterfield. Moving towards the corner of the penalty area. Back across now to O'Brien, who's made an overlap across the box, and Nabisar gets a touch, but straight to Butterfield, takes a shot, blocks off of Aribo, and that'll be a Bradford corner, and Charlton a little sloppy there. To find Doyle, but runs straight through to the Charlton penalty area, and Dylan Phillips, who rolls it out to Nabisar. To his right is Bauer, as Bradford drop back into their positions again. Bauer uses Nabisar again to his left. Crossing the halfway line, Nabisar into Bradford territory. Ball upfield. It's a good ball as well to Joe Aribo. Aribo cuts inside one. Little ball across. Finds Taylor. Taylor with a sliding cross. Come on. Oh, what a finish. That's a glorious finish from Lyle Taylor. It was an exquisite ball from Nabisar to find Joe Aribo. He turned, looked at his options. Williams was there. He let the ball run, though, Johnny Williams, to Lyle Taylor, who slid across and drilled the ball to the right-hand side of Richard O'Donnell to give Charlton the lead.
Well, I talked about the need for the centre-halves to try and find a striker, and Nabisar looked to try and find Igor Fetekele and slightly misplayed his pass, which actually worked out. A really nice ball for Joe Aribo. Aribo looked up to his right, looked for the run of Taylor, and Rees made a crossfield run, and Rees used his initiative so well. He realised that Taylor was behind him, a lovely little dummy, and Taylor on the stretch with a lovely finish past the goalkeeper O'Donnell, who couldn't do anything about it, diving to his right. And Lyle Taylor, who had celebrated his birthday yesterday, and what a way to celebrate and opening the scoring for Charlton.
Cullen, little chip ball, Taylor's great drifted ball. Away what from the ball. Back across, Fetekele! Oh, it's a save from the keeper,
who got lucky with then the deflection off of O'Connor to grasp it at the second attempt.
Ball taking on Nabisar. Doyle makes another run into the box. Instead, it goes left to Butterfield, who's in space. Butterfield into the area. Dick still trying to stop him in progress. Gets the ball across. Oh, and it's touched in by a ball. How that didn't go in the goal, I'm not sure. But it's away for a Charlton goal kick.
Inside towards Atpan. Atpan slides in, and Taylor gets hold of the ball for Charlton. Taylor with Fetekele to his left. He's on a run here, Taylor. He's got Fetekele over. Cuts back inside on his right foot. Taylor goes for goal!
Oh, my word!
Nearly a fantastic goal from Lyle Taylor. And then a deflection. Charlton are asking the questions, but referee says a goal kick.
That was all about Lyle Taylor.
Looks to try and take on Dickstill, holds him up. Lovely back heel finds O'Brien, and O'Brien evades the challenge of Cullen. And Bradford have two players in the penalty area here. O'Brien, ball across goal, will find Butterfield, who controls. Butterfield with a chance. Great save.
Dylan Phillips.
From Dylan Phillips, who also just pushes Patrick Bauer. Just wonder if Bauer got a touch on that.
Short two ball out to the right, and Caddis inside now to Butterfield. Bradford progressing quite nicely here as Butterfield out to the right, and ball. Ball will look to try and take on Perrington. Cuts inside into his left foot. Butterfield takes over. Out to the right, and Caddis. Held up by Perrington. Cuts back inside onto his left foot. Ball into the box. Finds O'Brien. He touches it down. It's a wayward shot. Anderson heads towards Ball inside the penalty. Shot comes back off the post. A great effort from David Ball. Deflection just took it to the post. I think there was a slight deflection. As Charlton with a little bit sloppy defending there.
Cullen in front of the scoreboard swings it across. It's a deep one. Aribo's there. It's headed away by Anderson, but only as far as Fosu, edge of the penalty area. Right hand side, gets into the box. Fosu chip back across. Taylor's there. What a shot! Oh! Spectacular effort, but it goes over the bar.
That's a hell of an effort from Lyle Taylor. The ball from Fosu just deflected up, and it was a spectacular effort from Lyle Taylor. It was harmlessly over the bar in the end, but he couldn't really do much better.
Nabisar takes over from Bauer, goes further left. Lyle Taylor's come short on the left-hand side. Perrington's the furthest man forward currently. Taylor cuts inside his man, goes on a bit of a run cross-field. Further right is Joe Aribo. He's got Dickstill on the right-hand side. Dickstill, Taylor continues his run, but Dickstill uses him as a decoy. Goes past Wood into the penalty area. Ball across the box! He got Fetekele. Got there first, but he couldn't steer it goalwards, and it's just wide left for a goal kick. Right, ball forward, straight to Aribo. And that is the final whistle here at Charlton. It's a strange, real strange game. It's not been a classic by any means.
There we go. I think Terry summing it up there when he says it's not been a classic by any means. But as I said at the top of the show there, Terry, I mean, 3 points is 3 points, and I don't think anyone went home yesterday disappointed that we've got those 3 points or really worrying too much about the performance.
You know, I think if if we were heading into the last few games and goal difference was vital, you know, if we would, let's say last season when we were heading towards the trying to get into that top six, I think it would have been slightly more important to dispatch a team like Bradford or a bottom 3 or 4 nil, just for A, for the confidence, B, for the goal difference. But now I think it's just about carrying on winning, scruffy as it might end up being, as I mentioned earlier, and I think it will be. I think we'll have a few more games like this. I think winning is a habit, it's been said many times, and I think if we can just carry on winning, and let's think on, all right, Bradford had their chances, and they did, especially in the first half. But, you know, Lyle Taylor's miss, Igor Vitekeli's point blank shot to keep it saved.
Taylor hit the post.
Yeah. So, you know, those go in before they really have their best chances. Then, you know, we could have been 3-4 nil up at half time and done a dusted.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who listened to Thursday's preview show where we had Simon Parker from the Bradford Telegraph and Argus on was telling us that apparently if Bradford go a goal down, they tend to just capitulate. And then I spoke to him after the game and said, yeah, if that second one had gone in, they would have capitulated. I was like, well, come on. You said we only needed
one. One or two, yeah.
But we did have our chances to double that lead in that first half. And if it had, I really do think it could have been quite a
they'd have had
conclusion.
To come in. They didn't change their shape once we scored the first one. They didn't change it at all in the hope that they could still catch us on the break. Two goals up is a huge difference to that, because then they'd have had to have come out at us, because, you know, almost every single time we had the ball, they had 11 men behind it.
Yeah.
You know, even Doyle was back helping out in defence. So, you know, it's a tough thing to crack. And it doesn't lend itself to good football at all.
No, and of course, it's one of those, when a team comes and shows you that sort of respect, in a way, that's a good thing, because it shows that you've earned that respect over the course of the season. Of course, I mean, we have seen that a lot of times this season where teams would come and try and make it difficult for us. We have more often than not gone on to beat them. Our home record is spectacular this season. That's 14 games at the Valley now in the league unbeaten, which is just a remarkable record. It goes all the way back to the Coventry defeat in October. And if you try and think back to how long ago that feels, I mean, you probably can't even remember the details of it when you think about it. It was ages ago. We conceded twice in the last 10 minutes, and it feels like a 2 or 3 seasons ago It shows how strong we are at home. And like you say, Bradford, they're in a funny position. A lot of people have said perhaps in a false position in terms of the squad they've got, and they have got some good strikers. That Owen Doyle that's been spoken about. We were linked with him last season. He was banging them in for Oldham at a point last season. They've got some good players, but clearly just nothing's working for them this season. They've been through a lot of managerial changes, but they came and under Gary Bowyer they did make it hard for us. They looked all right defensively. I thought, other than obviously they fell asleep for our goal. I thought they knew what their shape was and they stuck to it.
I think the problem they've got is the way they started. And I've got a friend in Bradford who obviously follows it. And at the start of the season, there were a lot of big names, and they've got some good players. You just mentioned it, and I said earlier on, you know, the likes of Ball and O'Brien and Caddis on the right side as well were troubling us, especially in that first half. So they have got good players. Butterfield was quite prominent in that first half as well. But what they've done is, because they, I don't know if it's egos, I don't know if it's personalities, what was the problem at the beginning? Apparently they're, according to my brother friend, they're comfortably well paid. let's put it that way, and so weren't overly bothered about performing.
I don't know if that's comparatively to everyone else in Bradford.
Well, yeah, exactly. But so the point is, now that they're in catch up mode, there's that extra, I don't know, frustration. There's that, you know, you start being desperate for a win, desperate for a goal, and that then lends itself to not performing very well, I think. So I think you know, they find themselves in this position despite having good players, having to chase games all the time, and that must wear them down.
When teams do come and sit back, though, we do know that we have got players within our team to turn it on for that one split second that's gonna force a goal. And like I say, more often than not, that does happen. And we saw it yesterday, Sars ball out to Aribo. And I thought the same as you. I thought it was slipping it into, Reeves.
I thought it was Johnny Williams, but it was Ben Reeves.
Reeves inside the area. And my initial reaction was, he's misplaced that pass. But then you see, you're almost shocked to see Lyle Taylor in so much room, because, I mean, surely when Gary Bay is sitting down to do his game plan with no one rushing him, I'm sure he's sitting there, number one point is right, don't leave Lyle Taylor unmarked at any point, because he'll do what he did.
For some reason, I mean, first off, he was doing it a lot. He was peeling away from one of the O'Connors, because there was two of them at the back. That wasn't confusing at all. And he was finding space on that right side. He was always peeling off that centre half. And Naby Sarr, I mean, how many crossfield balls did he ping in that direction?
He loves it, doesn't he? He loves a crossfield ball.
When they come off, they're brilliant. Second half, Lyle stopped doing it. I don't know why. He switched sides almost and started appearing on the left side. And we weren't nearly as effective. But in that first half, he was probably our best outlet, our best player, which is not a surprise, of course.
Yeah, certainly. And the finish from Taylor, 18 now for the season. It should be on 20-21 by now after the game he had yesterday. And we will talk about that miss because it was such a shocker. But it was a great finish, and that's what he's paid to do, and that's what he's done consistently this season. You know, don't forget that run where he had, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, 5 games without a goal. I mean, I would be delighted if some of our strikers of years gone by only took 5 games to score a goal, but he went 5 games without a goal that actually lasted 2 months because of his suspension and the lack of games we had in that time. But I mean, clearly that monkey's off his back now, and he's back to his very best. And considering he is now having to do that without his mate Carlin, it shows, that would have knocked his confidence, but he is finally starting to, hit the ground running again, and that's going to be so vital in the playoffs. So you think this time last year, what was our front two, McGuinness and Ajoze, and they were never prolific at this club. I mean, McGuinness got some, Ajoze got very few, but you don't want to be going into a playoffs thinking, right, Fosu was a bit injured. Last season, we weren't a goal threat towards the end of the season as much as we could have been.
Agreed. And I think, of course, losing Carlin Grant's a blow, a huge blow to us. And because when Taylor didn't score, Grant did, and vice versa, because they were both so threatening. I think Igor just started yesterday to look like he was getting on the end and starting to understand the partnership with Lyle, because there are a few of those drill crosses that Lyle Taylor put across that normally, if Carlin Grant was there, you would have expected him to finish earlier on in the season. Well, Igor's just beginning to get on the end of him now. Keeper stopped him once, and he missed it by a couple of inches for another one. So it's just beginning to form. That could be good as we head into the end of the season. If that can click, that'd be great. I think that Lyle Taylor finish, I can't emphasise enough how exquisite that was for me, because sliding, it wasn't as if it was he was standing still and could just plant it. He had to slide into it and still control the ball past the keeper. I thought it was exceptional.
It's quite a tight angle as well, which you didn't quite realise until I watched it back quite how tight that angle was. And yeah, great to see Lyle Taylor back on the score sheet once again, as he has been so often throughout this season.
It's the 3 yard tap-ins he's got to sort out.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, let's talk about that, because that is next on my list. So Johnny Williams, I mean, we've been calling for Johnny to start pitching up with a few more assists, and he's done that over the last few weeks, whether they've led directly to goals or not, but he's started laying more chances on a plate for his teammates. And I mean, how on earth did Lyle, because I would have put my mortgage on that. Funnily enough, actually, I this morning I got a notification on Twitter from some football betting site, like a tipping site. You get these things on Twitter where people tip, do Charlton -2. So okay. Or Charlton -1 even. So this whatever this tipping site had done Charlton -1, so they needed us to win by 2 goals. And they found my tweet about Lyle Taylor's miss, and they were like, what is this? Because he obviously ruined their bet. Because, I mean, you would have put your on it's Mother's Day. You would have put your mum on scoring that.
If you'd have freeze framed the second that it arrived at Lyle Taylor's boot and just froze it and said, right, what are you going to bet on, hit or miss? Yeah. There would have been very, very few, if any, would have backed on him hitting the top end of the cupboard end. You just would have put your mortgage on it.
Amy said it nearly hit her, actually. She sits right at the back of the cupboard end lower. So, I mean, yeah.
It was almost too easy, I think. That might have been the reason.
Yeah, it was a crazy one. I mean, and it was, not before that, he'd already hit the post as well. We'd had that, it was a great slaloming run where he then decided to
Now, that
take
would have
aim.
Been the goal of the season.
Yeah, but it was a weird one, because it seemed like he had to keep going because there wasn't quite the out ball.
Yeah.
And he got a little bit frustrated to fight final. I was going to finesse this into the far corner. It's just come off the outside of the post.
Actually, Greg called it. It was very similar to the one he actually scored at Bradford in the game up there.
Yeah, not a bad shout, actually. Yeah, of course, that was an important goal away at Bradford, where we were 1-0 up with about 10 minutes left to go, and he curled it into the top corner. So, yeah, similar effort. It was so close. But, yeah, I mean, that miss. It is one of those ones where I'm sure we'll be pleased that we didn't draw.
It was harder to miss than score. That and people say that as a joke, but you'd have had to if you put a ball on where he hit it, which was just inside the 6 yard box, I think, or at least there or thereabouts, if you tried to chip it over the bar, you'd sort of 9 times out of 10 you'd score.
Yeah, I mean, the guy down crossbar challenge yesterday, he would have scored that, and he's crossbar challenge.
It still might have gone wide.
yeah, that's true. If anyone stayed put at half time yesterday, would have seen the crossbar challenge was the most disgraceful one I've ever seen.
It was quality and its ineptitude.
It was bizarre. The guy looked like he came on all suited and booted for it as well. He came in shorts and everything, trainers.
Yeah, he was fully equipped.
Yeah, lined up, and then the ball literally didn't leave the ground. It went wide of the goal, and then his mate jumped out of the crowd to kick it back in and nearly hit Brian. It was very funny. We mentioned obviously that Carlin's gone now, as we well know. So the question of who is going to be Taylor's partner has been one that's been quite interesting. But it seems to me that Igor is now being preferred to Josh Parker. We've seen him start the last couple. For me, I think I prefer Igor as well, just because I think his finishing clearly isn't where it used to be, but I think there's little glimpses of movement.
Yeah, and I think that's the key word you've just used, movement. I think Igor being in alongside Lyle Taylor just gives Lyle Taylor that space, because Igor will make those runs into the corners, will make runs that stretches defenders away to leave Lyle Taylor one-on-one. So I think he's the closest thing to the partnership with Carlin Grant that we had. With Colin and Lyle. So I think at the moment, at least, it has to be Lyle. I think hopefully Josh Parker is the sort of player that come on if it's 0-0 with this, you know, and there's a set piece, because we know how good he is in the air. So as a different option if we have to mix it up.
Do you think Igor will ever recover that finishing form that he had when he was first here 4 years ago? Because you forget he had, what, 8 or 9 goals in the first half of the season? And, you know, he was a good finisher. I can't understand why it's gone so far off the boil.
Personally, I think it's about that speed of movement in that vital second or split second where you have to make a decision between shooting, taking it on, dribbling, whatever. And the injury he had, I don't know if you ever saw the documentary on the ex-England player who commentates for BT.
Michael Owen.
So where he said that, because he had a very similar, the torn hamstring thing. Recovering from that, sometimes the hamstring doesn't detach itself back correctly, so it becomes slightly tighter, so you lose that flexibility in the hamstring, so you're not as quick. And secondly, in your mind, you're worried about it going again. Mm. So there is that. And when you're a goal scorer, I guess, you know, where Igor got a lot of his goals was that just that speed of thought and speed of movement ahead of the defender. And if he hasn't got that for either mentally or physically, then he's going to lose that ability to score as many goals. I think he'll still score because he's, you know, that yesterday the keeper was in the right place. You can applaud the keeper for that. Could Igor have touched it either side of him? Possibly, but it was a split second decision. So he's still getting into the areas. So I still think he'll score goals, but whether he'll be as prolific, I'm not so sure. I hope so. I really hope he gets it back.
Because, as you say, we saw him twice there, getting one in either half, getting towards the near post when a cross was coming in. I think both from Taylor, actually, where he was unlucky. I thought the one in the second half, it looked to me, it might have come off the defender, actually, and I thought it might have been a corner, but the goal kick was given there. The other change, obviously, one of the other changes at the back is, I don't know if we did. I expected it, I think, was Saar coming back in for Piercy. Obviously, Jason Pierce came in and started against Bristol Rovers just before the international break, but Saar had been playing so well, and, you know, Boyer stuck to his word and said it was just a resting situation and giving him a couple of weeks off.
Oh, it was good to see as well, and you've got to applaud Lee Boyer for that. And I think it's also, and people also are, they're professionals, they should be able to play in any conditions. I don't know whether the conditions down at Bristol may have affected Lee Boyer's decision on whether to play Naby or not. You know, it was a horrible windy day, it was raining, the pitch was going to be cutting up and slippery, and so maybe he just thought it'd be a lot more of a war at Bristol rather than today, or yesterday rather, where, you know, playing the ball on the floor was more of an option and easier to do, and Naby Sarr, as you saw, they're pinging those balls across, and he's quicker across the ground in good conditions, and the two Bradford lads are considerably quicker than the Bristol ones, so I I think resting is fine, but I wonder if there's a little bit more to it than that. Just, you know, just the resting thing.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned there the pace that Bradford had on the counter in particular. We saw it a couple of times. I mean, that's the way we were playing in the first half of the season. We'll remember that home game against Barnsley in particular, where we scored twice with some lightning breaks, and we were a little bit susceptible to it yesterday. I mean, is that a worry? In the end, we didn't concede goals from it, so in the end, we did enough to not do so. But I guess against a better side, that might have cost us in a little,
it's
a possible, little way.
Yeah, you're possibly right. I think it's something we have to look at. I think the way we play with that sort of narrow diamond formation are we don't have the wide midfield players as such, you know, in the way we used to have. Our left and right backs drift forward without actually bombing forward, but they drift forward, and so they're often caught out if the move breaks down. So I think, you're possibly right. You know, and I think that's why we got hurt so badly at Barnsley. Because they hit us like lightning in that first half. Second half, it wasn't so bad because we adjusted stuff. But the first half, they absolutely ripped us apart in the first, 20 minutes, wasn't it? They could have had four in that period because they're that type of side. So if we come up against, if we have to play Barnsley, for example, if they drop out into the playoffs and we have to play them, then we are certainly going to have to change or certainly have to adapt.
Yeah, certainly. In terms of the midfield, I mean, We've obviously been talking about Aribo, but obviously Williams as well, who did come in to speak yesterday, coming back from injury. It's good to see that he was able to play an hour. It was nothing. He didn't get taken off for any bad reasons, purely because he's had an hour. What were you thinking about Johnny Williams?
I thought we saw the best and worst of him yesterday, didn't we? You know, clearly he's still got to get his fitness back up to speed. But the Johnny Williams that got into the box and cut that ball back for Lyle Taylor is the one that we expect to see. He made a few runs like that and got into good positions, but then the other Johnny Williams who had the ball at his feet was bombing on, and we had players to the right. I think it was Joe Aribo, but I could be wrong. Away on the right hand side, it was halfway during the first half, I think, and he got caught on the ball because that decision making just wasn't there. You know, he wanted to carry it at his feet, he wanted to take defender on, but Joe Aribo was clear away on the right hand side. I'm sure it was, and he failed to pick him out. And I think that's the, you know, that's the frustrating side of Johnny Williams at the moment anyway. And that maybe that's just down to, you know, getting his physical condition back up to speed. I don't know. But so, you know, I can see where some people get frustrated with him. But on the other end, I think he's a quality player as well.
Yeah, certainly. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him next season. We'll talk about that later. After we talked about Gary Bayer interrupting my interview with him, we'll talk about what he actually said as well, because I thought it was reasonably interesting. I mean, he was taken off after the hour, like I say, purely just because he's just getting his feet back under the table. Fosu came on again. I mean, there was someone behind me where I was sat in the crowd yesterday was not enjoying Fosu's performance. And
I heard him.
Yeah, the frustration. I mean, because we know how good he can be. Obviously, it doesn't help that he's getting cameo appearances now. He needs a run of games. But having said that, he had a run of games and he didn't really hit those heights. I mean, we've seen a couple of decent games for him. I don't know why. Why is not being the same?
I think you have to bear in mind that the way the opposition were playing against us. So, you know, picking our way through a very tight, what was effectively a nine-man wall, apart from the goalkeeper and then the striker, Owen Doyle, who still came back and helped out. But so finding space for the, you know, the likes of Tariq Foss, even Ben Reeves and Johnny Williams, finding that space. And Joe Aribo, I don't think Joe Aribo was his most effective yesterday, but the good thing about Joe Aribo, and the goal proves it, that even in tight spaces, every now and again he'll pick out a pass or he'll do something that changes games or potentially can change games. And Tariq, I think, struggled to find that room, find the ability to pick out a fellow red shirt. And I think Ben Reeves suffered as well in a similar way, and Johnny Williams. So I think you have to take into account, I think, the opposition we were playing against and the way they played against us, as well as, I agree with you, by the way, that I don't think we've seen the best of Tariq for a while. But I think yesterday you have to take into account the opposition and the way they were playing against us.
Now, one player who's been going under the radar the last couple of weeks, I think, but has been performing pretty well, Anthony Dick Steele, away at Bristol Rovers in particular. I thought he was really good. But again, yesterday I didn't see too many issues. Maybe we got caught out a couple of times, like I say, on the break, but we were pushing forward at the time. So,
but there were a couple of times where he got caught out and still made it back and made some important tackles. And there was one particular diving block. I'm not sure who it was again. It might have been Owen Doyle. It might have been Ball. But he's grown. Every game he grows for me. I mean, he made a couple of mistakes yesterday. And you know, he's certainly not the finished article or perfect. There are times when he gets into... What I was saying on comms yesterday, and I think one of the reasons we struggled a little bit yesterday is when the balls went wide, either to Purrington, but especially to Anthony Dixdale, was that he seemed reluctant to hit the ball first time, cross it first time, because he was being allowed space. I think it was O'Brien was in front of him and then Caddis behind him. They were leaving him enough space to either attack them down the wide, which he really hasn't got, excuse me, the lightning pace to be able to do that, or cross the ball first time. And I don't think he did it once. He took a touch, and as soon as he takes a touch, they were all over him. I'd like to see him just practice or somehow just get that ball instantly into the box, straight away. Worst thing's going to happen, the keeper might save it, we might get a corner, but it's better than just losing it in the corner and then being susceptible to the break. So that, I think, for me, was my only disappointment yesterday with Anthony.
Yeah, certainly. So one question, something I asked Johnny actually yesterday. The position we're in, so 12-point gap now, as I said, down to Peterborough. I mean, the pressure is off for the seven games left of the normal season. I mean, Bowyer said himself he wants us to go into that last two games with a chance of that top two. But even if we don't, unless there's an absolute disaster now between now and the end of the season, which I'm touching wood, don't worry, it's fine. I mean, we're going to be in the playoffs. So are we sort of having a weird mini pre-season run-up to the playoffs now? I mean, I don't feel under any pressure coming. Do you remember the end of last season where with three games left to go, it was touch and go whether we were going to get in there? This season is completely different. It'd be interesting to see how that affects us for the next seven games and then how that affects us going into the playoffs, having not really had to worry about...
I agree, but I think you'll hear in a minute, I actually asked the question to Lee Bowyer. It's probably one of the bravest questions I've ever asked. Almost knowing the response I was going to get, though.
Was it a punch in the face?
Well, no, it's about complacency. Yeah. And is that our only, is that, you know, our biggest problem now is we are relatively comfortable in the playoffs. If we are still in the hunt for the top two, then that won't be an issue. But if we get to a point where we're comfortable, we can lose the next four games and still be in the playoffs. I don't want to go into the playoffs on a four-match losing streak, and I don't think anybody would, because it's all about momentum and confidence, etc. And once you get into that, you know, mindset of losing, it's difficult to come out of it. So, you know, I think Lee Bowyer will want the same running as he had last season in the last sort of 10 games. In, you know, the difference being, of course, is, you know, when we hit the playoffs last time, we were almost decimated with the injuries. We had to pay players who weren't fit. I'm not sure that's going to be the case this season because, you know, if anything, actually, you've got Christian Billick coming back in for the last few games, and he might even rest him Saturday because he's got another game Tuesday.
Yeah. Absolutely no rush, is there?
You know, you mentioned before, and he's almost been forgotten as Lewis Page because everybody's got their eye on Jake Forster-Caskey. Will he be back? So potentially we'll have absolutely no injuries to the squad by the time we hit the playoffs. And that's something that could be really important. Yeah.
Q explosion at the training ground tomorrow now because yeah, Terry exactly, said yeah. that. Yeah. Right.
My fault.
Yeah, sorry. I want to hear what Lee Bowyer had to say. I also want to hear what you guys made of yesterday's performance. Do you worry too much about the fact it wasn't the most polished display? Do you just think it's just one of those days, we've got the 3 points? Does it give you anything to worry about as we approach the playoffs towards the end of the season? Also want to know, I mean, we will have this discussion after we hear from Bowyer because Terry's gone and done the research about the running. I mean, is there this outside chance that we can get into that top two? And I mean, it's an outside chance, but stranger things have happened in football. Do you think it is possible? We'll have that discussion after as well, but let us know what you think. Don't forget, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us @charltonlive. You can head over to the Charlton Life forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. I want to know everything you made about yesterday's performance. Now, of course, Bowyer came in to speak to Lee Bowyer, of course. It was the Battle of the Bowyers yesterday. One of them's nice and one of them's a dickhead who interrupts my press conferences with Johnny Williams. But we spoke to the nice one. Terry in particular spoke to the nice one, and Lee Bowyer said that it doesn't matter how the performance goes at this stage of the season, the 3 points are the only thing that matter.
Yeah, 3 points, most important thing. move on. I think it's as simple as that. This time of the season, that's all that matters, points on the board. Obviously, Barnsley dropping points today has brought them a little bit closer. Sunderland have got to play up here 10 games in a month. That's not going to be easy. So, yeah. All we can do is concentrate on us, keep trying to win games, which we do every game. I believe that we can win our next seven. I honestly do. It's going to be hard. Every game's going to be hard. Each one's going to be a different challenge. But I believe in the players that we have. And with the fans behind us, it was excellent again today. And with them behind us, I think we're definitely capable of winning the next seven. Will we? I don't know. But I believe that we can.
Was it a case of we got the first goal, Bradford didn't really change their shape. The second goal would have been the one that did it. I mean, we're not going to talk about Lartig. It's mysterious because he obviously scored the one goal. But would that have settled us down just a little bit more to enable us to open them up? Because you've got to give Bradford some credit in the way they played against us.
Yeah, they came here, they had a game plan, and they made it difficult for us. They were compact. But we're always going to create chances. If you sit there and just let us pass the ball, we're going to create. And like Lyle could have had four. Like on another day, he does score four as well because he's a great finisher. So the second the chance where he hit over the bar, that ain't like him. He scored one exactly the same yesterday in training. So the scissor kick, seeing him score all the time in training. The one where he hit the post, unlucky. You know, like on another day. So you can't, well, teams do that. They come in, they think, oh, we'll sit there. But to be fair to Bradford, they've done well. They hit us on the break a couple of times, well, a few times. And that caused us the odd problem here and there. But for me, I think we were always in control. And the only thing that disappointed me today is that we went into, like, we got sloppy. And in the final third at times. And we give them the opportunity to break on us. So I think we was always in control of the game. Like we had so much of the possession, I thought, at times. So, yeah. But most important thing, 3 points and move on.
Is that going to be the issue going forward? Because at times, as you say, we look very comfortable out there for a fair proportion of the game. Is complacency the biggest risk for us now?
No, because I won't let that happen. I think if they would have scored, I think we would have gone on and scored again. So the most important thing for me is that they kept the ball for a good part of it. They didn't try and force it too many times because there's no point just going back to front. We're not that team. So, but they kept it and they kept making Bradford run, and I just thought we was in control. Like there's not, I wasn't worried at any stage. So, but no, we won't get complacent for sure. Because we'll be in next week and I'll be telling them.
One of the things that was, especially in the first half, was good to see was the partnership between Igor and Lyle Taylor. Sort of gelling in the same way that Carlin and Igor and Lyle did at the beginning of the season. A couple of drill crosses and only fraction of an inch out. The first one with Igor just turned wrong side of the post and then just failing to get on the end of a couple as well. But it's getting there.
Yeah, I have to say that's the best Igor's played since I've been in charge. He looks sharper, fitter, works really, really hard. I just want something to fall for him, you know, and like in a good area or get to one of them that he's gambling across in there, like just get there, just needs a bit of luck, you know, it's just not really falling for him. But I'm happy with the way that they linked up at times. I thought Lowell was very good. I thought he was very good, he worked hard also, put some great balls in, obviously scored the goal, but yeah, I thought it was a good goal as well, I thought we worked it well, but yeah, I thought Igor, very good today.
You mentioned it in passing just now, but the win and Barnsley dropping 2 points, if we can win our game in end, puts us just 6 points, I think, adrift of Barnsley. That starts putting pressure on them, and their running is, nobody's running is going to be seen as easy. So just starts putting pressure, and that's what you want, isn't it? I mean, people, probably fans, are saying, well, playoffs are, you know, we're there, but You still got your eye on the top two?
For sure. Like I've said to the players, that, like I've just said just now, I believe we can win all seven. I think it's a big ask for two teams to have a bad run in, and that's what we need. We need Sunderland and Barnsley, because don't forget, Sunderland have got games in hand. But if they do, then we have to be there ready. So I'd love to have two games to go and we're in touching distance of 2-3 points. I'd love that last two games, because I think we'd catch them. But again, we're just guessing, and these are things that are out of our hand, and what we can do is just keep working hard and win games, and then if that is the situation that we find ourselves in, then great.
Are we looking at, and you particularly looking at the sort of run that you had when you came and joined us as manager last year, where we go to the end of the season in good form, on a run, with positive points right up to that point, even if we are in the playoffs, and then hit the playoffs in a much better condition than we did last time?
Yeah. I just want to win games. I want to win every game, because if the two above us, Barnsley and Sunderland, if they do mess up, then we have to be there. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. I'm just going to keep pushing and trying to win every game. Plymouth going to be tough. They're a good side at home. And obviously, it's going to be difficult, right? But we can go there and win. Like, I believe that. So everything's in our hands, I think, apart from the two above dropping points. But I think we can win the seven. I do. I honestly do. So then we'll see where we are.
You'll have a chance, potentially, of Christian Bullock back in contention for the Plymouth game. But are you tempted to let him recover fully and have him even fresher for the running, bearing in mind we've got cover?
Yeah, I have to see what sort of state he is in Wednesday, Thursday. Not going to take no unnecessary risks with him. There's no point. We've got Josh Cullen that can do his job. And I'll have to look at the bigger picture, but if he's fine, then we'll see. But obviously, we've got the Wickham game on the Tuesday night, straight after that, so it might be a case of saving him for the Tuesday.
Well, that'll be the only thick and fast game that we'll have, apart from in the Easter bank holiday, where you've got two games fairly close together. So you're going to need your squad for that particular period. But as you say, 3 points today, 3 points in the rest of the game, don't matter how you get them, as long as you get them.
Yeah. 1-0 is the best result. You've got a clean sheet and you've got 3 points on the board. So, perfect.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Switch across to left-hand side, and Perrington's a good one. Bielik looks okay for the time being. Perrington looking to try and look to take on Thompson. Instead goes back inside to Cullen. Needs a little bit of support. He turns, works a bit of spacer across. Cullen, ball into the box, finds Aribo!
Yeah! One, Joe Aribo with a superb goal! Turn inside the penalty area. His shot went across the face of goal, and the Gilfrey didn't even go for any, and it's past him and into the back of the net, and Charlton just before half time had the lead.
No.
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening on Maritime Radio. Don't forget, Maritime Radio is going back fully live soon, or possibly already, actually. It's playing all the music and whatnot. Keep an eye out for that. Lebo, you there? Perfectly happy with to take the point and move on. Take the 3 points
through
and move
it, I think.
On.
Now, yeah. Especially, I think, because I'm sure during that game he probably puffed his cheeks out a few times because Bradford came close a few times, especially in that first half.
Yeah.
And even at the post in the second, although it was a bit more streaky an effort. But yeah, I think it's one of those where, it wasn't great. We got through it. We got 3 points. Let's forget about it and move on, which pretty much everybody's thinking the same way.
Mm. Now, I just saw an interesting tweet. Rhys pointed out that yesterday's result leaves us on 70 points. Last season, we got 71 points in the entire season. So we're just 1 point away already from equaling last season's points total. So I went on to a website so you can look up where if we had this amount of points this time last season, we'd actually only be fourth anyway. We'd only be 1 point higher because the top three really ran away with it last year. Wigan, Blackburn and that weird season that Shrewsbury had as well. But, I mean, it shows as Rhys says in his tweet, I mean, you never, ever, at the start of the season, when we had five subs and George Lapsley starting up at Sunderland and kids in the team, there's no way on God's earth that you would have thought that we would be surpassing last season's total this season and doing it with seven games to go.
I agree, 100% I agree. We're if you're going to talk about luck, I don't know if luck's necessarily the right word, but if you look at the league table, nobody would have necessarily expected Luton to be up there. Barnsley, you probably would have done, just down from the Championship. Portsmouth, almost certainly. Sunderland, almost certainly. Peterborough were the early season potential favourites. So it was always going to be a quite strong top six or seven sides in the division anyway. Luton being the surprise package, I guess, to a lesser extent, perhaps Blackpool and Coventry. But for us to, if we have the same run in, and obviously Lee Bowyer's targeting winning every single game, of course he would. You know, if we win every single game, I think, now it looks a stretch. You know, you look at where Barnsley are, they're 9 points ahead of us. We've got a game in hand, right? Could be 6 points. But they drop another couple of games, points in the next couple. They've got Burton Albion away and Fleetwood at home next two games. If they drop even one, if they lose one of those games, and we win the next two, suddenly we're only 3 points behind, and the same, and then they can't slip up then because no. If we're winning, they cannot slip up, and so the pressure's on, and it sounds ridiculous, but actually, when you look at some of the results in this division that have gone through the season, we've dropped points where you think, how on earth did we do that? You wouldn't have expected Barnsley to drop points against Coventry, for sure you wouldn't, the way they play. So I am clutching at straws, I'll give you that. But it's a mentality you've got to have, I think. And that's certainly, by the sounds of it, it's the mentality Lee Bowyer's got.
And you mentioned as well, Sunderland now, they have to play midweek.
Twice a week,
every week. Yeah. And that will take its toll on the team. And like I say, that heartbreak in the Chequer trade, that will knock their confidence a little bit as well, I reckon.
And in fact, if you look over the Easter period, they've got Wednesday, they've got Accrington Stanley away. Now you expect them to win that. But on the back of just losing in penalties again to Wembley, who knows? Then they've got Rochdale away on Saturday. Again, Rochdale down there and dusted. You'd expect them to win that. But then the following Tuesday, they've got Burton Albion. Then the Saturday, they've got Coventry. Then the following Friday, Doncaster. And then Monday, Peterborough. And then the following week after that, Saturday, they've got Portsmouth. So that four-game period, Coventry, Doncaster, Peterborough and Portsmouth, could be the key for Sunderland, whether or not they can achieve it or not. And four games in quick succession against top league opposition. All of those teams are there or thereabouts. And actually, if you include Coventry, who are there or thereabouts, really, that's you can extend that to five.
Yeah.
That's a tough ask.
Yeah, and in a way, we're always forgetting about Portsmouth as well, who are above us, with no games in hand, but with a 4 points more than us as well.
Yeah, I think out of all of them now, especially after today's result, Portsmouth at Wembley, winning that, the lift that might give them.
Because they have had this horrible run, haven't they? I think they got a couple of results recently, but...
Well, they got Wickham away next Saturday, then they got Rochdale at home, so they're two, you'd expect them to win both of those games. But then again, they've got Burton, Coventry, Sunderland, Peterborough, and then the final game at Accrington Stanley, which you would expect them to win. But there's that four-game stretch in between those two, which are all quite tough. Now, you look at ours, and Luton is the tough one. But outside of that, you've got Plymouth away next week, Wickham, Oxford, Scunthorpe, Gillingham and Rochdale.
Every single one of those teams in that weird, massive relegation battle.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Now, that means it might... That's why I said earlier, we might end up all seven of those games being scruffy. We might sneak them 1-0. I'll settle for that all day, every day.
Mm.
Because, you know, as Lee Bowie said, we're going into the last two games of the season where we've got to play Gillingham and Rochdale with a shout of potentially getting into that top two spots. Or, you know, forget top. Luton are too far away. Barnsley have got to play Blackpool and Bristol. Portsmouth have got to play Peterborough and Accrington Stanley. Sunderland have got to play Fleetwood and Southend. And Doncaster, you wouldn't necessarily include them anyway, but they've got to play Oxford and Coventry. If we're in with a shout in the last two games of the season, you know, they're both winnable games and pressure's on the others.
Well, exciting running. We'll look very silly when we lose at Plymouth.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, this is Charlton we're talking about.
Well, here we go. Let's have a look at some of the tweets that have started coming in yesterday. Paul Griffiths, who I was very happy to meet outside the club shop actually yesterday, just walking past, said it was just home from the Valley. It was a game of two halves. Charlton were fab in the first half, and all at sea in the second. They were lucky to win. Bradford were far better then their league position suggested. Yeah, I was surprised with Bradford. They were better than what I was expecting. When a team comes to the, you know, to the Valley, who are bottom of the league, you expect them just to be a bunch of idiots, basically. But they weren't awful, and the new manager probably helps. He's not, you know, despite my despite what I called him earlier, he's not a bad manager, is he? Like,
well,
Gary,
you know, they had the new manager bounce almost straight away. I think they tonked Peterborough 3-1, wasn't it? Almost immediately, but then came crashing back down to earth very shortly afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's one of those situations where it probably is. You know, there's no way they can recover from it now. But, I mean, I noticed during the week that it sounds like Gary Bay is going to sign a new contract. And when that news was put out there, the Bradford fans were happy. So, clearly, they've seen some sort of improvement since he's come in. And they're happy with it. Right, Nabi Sar FC says, we were sloppy, but Lyle and Nabi destroyed them. Should have had three or four goals. The atmosphere was off. Yeah, I mean, it is one of those ones where even with the... Yeah, the fairly boring second half, the fairly tame second half. I mean, it's easy to forget that we did have those chances and we could easily have won that 3-4.
Yeah, I think if we'd have gone 2-0 up, I think the atmosphere would have raised a notch. But the fact that we didn't get that, and people are a bit on edge, oh, this is Bradford, we should be beating them, and you know, if we don't beat these, then maybe we might even have pressure on us from Doncaster, because you know we'd be only 4 points above them by the time, and then you got Peterborough hunting as well. You know, people start, there's that nagging doubt in your mind, are we even going to make the play? So I get it, you know, and you know, especially towards the end of the season, now people are going to be anxious and nervous. But if we go on that run and we start, and that's another point, by the way, we start getting closer to the top positions and looking like it's not impossible, then I think the crowd can play a huge part. And forget the nerves, just get behind. I know it's tough because we're all nervous, but you know, the boys have said it before, especially at home, but even our away following's been amazing this season, so it could be the difference.
Yeah, I think we're taking a fair few numbers down Plymouth next weekend as well. There's a lot of people staying down for the weekend, myself included, which is why I should probably give you the advance notice now that we'll not be at Charlton Live next Sunday. Basically, all of us are staying in Plymouth for the weekend for various different reasons. I mean, effectively all the same reasons, drink and stuff.
Yeah,
but because I'm going down, my brother's having his stag do around the game. The rest of the boys are all going down. George, someone's leaving as well, which we're having a celebration for as well, not in a horrible way, but we're celebrating their time at the club. So there will be no live show next Sunday, unfortunately. I'll remind you at the time, but unfortunately no live show next Sunday because I will not be in a fit state. Right, London Innit Geezer says, a pretty flat performance, but a win is a win. I've seen a lot worse teams than Bradford this season. Still waiting for Johnny Williams to score.
Well, no, it's true. You know, every now and again you think he's getting in the right positions to maybe. There were a couple of times yesterday, again, you think, just pull the trigger. Just shoot. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? And then a couple of times he just delayed and got, you know, lost the ball. So I think it'll come. Hopefully it'll come when it really matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, Wembley. I mean, he's saying himself yesterday he's had some good times in the playoffs with that team that must not be named.
True.
But he's played
true.
In that higher pressure environment. He's played in the European semi-final as well, don't forget. So he's played in higher pressure environments, so maybe the cream will rise to the top in that situation. Right, Sarah Saunders, evening Sarah, said it wasn't the best, but I think it's the curse of the bottom teams. We play better against the top teams when a win is a win. I'm looking forward to Luton at home. And that's true. I mean, we tend to this season putting good performances against the teams higher up the league, in particular here at the Valley.
Yeah, it's a decent shout from Sarah that. And mainly because, you know, I think, again, I alluded to it before, where, you know, teams that are slightly higher up will actually try and play football against us. You know what I mean? The likes of Portsmouth and Sunderland and Luton, and hopefully that will be the case when Luton come to us, that they open up a bit. They're not going to play defensively because they feel that they can beat us because they don't need to be hitting us on the break. So with that in mind, hopefully they'll come with a game plan that allows us to play the sort of football we know we can play.
Right, John tweeted in, I said, what did you make of the game yesterday? John said, oh, is it finished? Sorry, I fell asleep. Which, yeah, I wouldn't have blamed anyone for that in that second half. Right, Spenny, we passed them off the pitch in the first half. Second half still looked comfortable, but without creating much. But a win is a win at this stage of the season. Yeah, I think after ball hit the post... David Ball hit the post early in that second half. I can't really remember too many scares at either end. I think
they had the biggest scares in the first half when we were pressing them. I mean, the save that Dylan Phillips had to make fairly point blank. I think it was against Owen Doyle. I'm not sure, but Patrick Bauer may have got a foot in there as well to stop that happening. So the fact that their better chances came when we were playing better. Sort of tells you everything I think you need to know, because we didn't really play. We slowed it right down in that second half. Maybe it's because they started getting comfortable.
Mm.
Bradford didn't really look like they were going to threaten us, and it just petered out into a nothing game. And because we perhaps weren't attacking them with the same intent and will in that second half, so they couldn't hit us on the break quite as much. I don't know, but it was one of the more turgid second half, I think we've ever seen, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's including the last home game against Burton, where it's just similarly.
We should have known as soon as that guy took the crossbar challenge. We should have all gone home, because if that was set the tone for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, right. Vital Charlton says a good 3 points yesterday. Although we won the game, we really need to start kinning teams off, especially with the playoffs fast approaching. I mean, this was a discussion I did have in the tunnel yesterday. I think what the situation of the game was we're 12 points clear, we're playing at Bradford City at the bottom of the league. Mentality-wise, it's not one where you're thinking, right, like, come on, let's go out and really put a show on. It's one of the, I mean, because that game against Portsmouth, against Sunderland here at the Valley, hopefully against Luton in a couple of weeks, when it's a completely different kettle of fish, it might just make the players approach it differently. Even though they should be motivated for every game, it must be human condition to not be as up for a game against Bradford as you are against someone in the playoffs.
I sort of agree with that, but can I throw something else into the mix as well? We had 6 players away on international duty. They would have come back, what, when? Thursday?
Depending
on when they played, Wednesday, Thursday. Depending on when the countries actually played the last game. Which is either Sunday or Monday, I'm not sure which. So, you know, you've got 3 days shorter to prepare for a game. And I might be, again, clutching at straws a little bit, trying to find reasons for the slightly dour second half. But, you know, it might be a factor still, you know, that you when it's all right saying they all had a rest, but they also all disappeared to all 4 corners of the globe and only came back later on in that week.
100% Charlton, this time of the season is just about picking up wins. Last season, we would have probably picked up a draw yesterday or a defeat. We are progressing nicely under Lee Bayer, and long may it continue. Let's hope this contract talk this week is positive. Yeah, Lee Bayer mentioned during the week that he was texted and he is expecting a contract to be offered this week.
I don't know why I'm just not confident at all. because
we decided to ask you to... do it for free.
Well, you just don't know, do you? With the sort of stuff that's come out of us, you know, from behind the scenes, the people that run us, you can't confidently put your hand on your heart and say, yeah, I think it'll all be sorted this week. You just, because, I mean, bearing in mind they sent him a text about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, how professional is that? Do you know what I mean? It's just, so, you know, you just get the feeling that it just takes the, you know, and one of the dipstick in his bedroom to turn around and say, well, maybe we could get somebody better. You know, on my football manager, this bloke's got a really good record. And they turn around and say, oh, yeah, you might be right there. Mm. You just don't know, do you? Now, look, fingers crossed, everything sorted. We keep Bowyer, Johnny Jackson, Gallen, everybody stays at the same team and we carry on. But as I say, hand on my heart, if you're gonna ask me, you know, we were talking about Lyle Taylor scoring that goal. Would I put my mortgage on it? No, probably not.
Bowyer, Jacko yesterday in a boot, done his Achilles.
Yeah, apparently, I saw that.
I heard he's done his Achilles. He's still hoping to be able to run the marathon.
Did he do it? He's training.
Yeah, he's still hoping to be able to run the marathon. We hope so. Yeah, but yeah, interesting as you say. Then texting him, we'll sort you out a contract. You know what's going to happen. They're going to do one, send it over on Snapchat and it'll be gone in 10 seconds. That's how it works.
Or they'll send it to the wrong Bowyer.
Yeah, oh no. Not after I've called him that
exactly.
thing I called him earlier.
You're in deep trouble.
Yeah. Right, London in at Giza. Can't believe anyone can moan after yesterday's game. We won. That's all that matters. Bowyer is a miracle worker. He also adds that Burton.
That 100%.
Yeah, Burton seemed to be the key. Irate Burton could see them beating anyone in this league on their day. They've got a say in who finishes in
that
top two, Burton Albion.
They play Barnsley. They play Portsmouth. Yeah. Do they play Sunderland? I'm just trying to look now. Yeah, they do. They play Sunderland as well.
Yeah.
And they're a good side.
Yeah, let's hope they have better luck than when they played
yeah,
us
exactly, yeah.
both times when we won. Right, we've still got a few other comments to come in as well, but I wanted to bring you a little bit of an update on Lewis Page because it happened on, I think on Friday, I saw someone mention him on the forum, and it suddenly got me thinking, yeah, where the hell is he? Because he was supposed to be weeks away, not long ago, and we hadn't heard. So I asked Lee Bowyer what's going on with Page. Of course, remember, he got injured against Scunthorpe in that 5-3 defeat, and that was back in, I think, November. So he's been out for a long time. I asked Bowyer what the latest update is on the left back Lewis Page.
Pagey, well, he's training now, so we're hoping to have him back in training with us Monday, Tuesday next week. And then obviously he's been out a long time, so we'll have to get him some 23 games and stuff. But yeah, it was his stomach. He's had a hernia operation, so he's. We're hoping that now he can strengthen us even more. So hopefully we can keep our squad strong until the end of the season.
You think he's got a chance this season then?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He's been running for a long time now. there's a good chance he'll be back within a month in before the end of the month, like the end of April, and then yeah, we should have him back for May.
Forward towards Vetticelli. It's actually Evans who's off the pitch momentarily for Portsmouth. Vetticelli on the left-hand side thinks about a cross. It's been held up by Burgess. Ball inside, finds Aribo. Aribo early cross comes towards Reece. Can he get on the end of it? Reece across to Taylor!
Yes! Come on!
John will make it two! Lyle Taylor getting the goal that he wanted. Great endeavour from Ben Reece just to stay with the ball and just toe poke it in the way of Lyle Taylor, who had an open goal and couldn't miss, and Charlton restore their lead.
So welcome back. You are listening to Charlton Live. Lee Bowyer there giving us the update on left-back Lewis Page. He's had a hernia as well then, so the problems always seem to pile up for poor old Pagey, don't they?
He doesn't get him in ones, does he?
No.
Injuries. And there was talk that he was very close to coming back, and then there was a rumour, we rushed him back, and that's why he broke down. But it sounds like, no, the actual recent problem was the hernia, which I don't think was related to... potentially to the original problem, or maybe it was. I don't know. I've got no idea medically. I'm not that clever. But he's almost gone under the radar. Him coming back, isn't it? Because everybody's been talking about Forster Caskey, and then we've had so many other injuries that people have been saying about. Oh, it's 2 and 3 weeks. We've almost assumed that we wouldn't see Lewis Page again. So the fact that he could be back, and he definitely gives us a different option. I mean, I don't think Ben Perrington's played badly at all. I think he's a very stable left back. But what he doesn't tend to do is offer us
the threat going forward.
And Lewis Page certainly does that.
Pagey is the best crosser at the club.
Yeah.
in my opinion.
I'd sort of go on with that.
And I miss him a lot. I think we do miss him in that team. Don't forget, so he signed a new deal as well, actually. So, I mean, he will still be here next year, which is more than we can say for a lot of people.
I mean, let's hope it's more than 9 games.
Exactly. Yeah, so look forward to him coming back. Hopefully, we'll see him before the end of the season. Boyer says we'll see him before the end of April, which is good news. Now, there's something I want to talk about, actually. Yesterday, a couple of people have pointed out to me, and I did see it on Twitter earlier today. Lawrence Salter said, don't really have a comment on the game, but can we discuss the racism that Lyle Taylor had on Twitter from the Bradford fan? Unacceptable. The person in question should face his punishment, and both clubs need to speak up on this issue. John Barnes was right. And then Ray on the forum as well said, sorry, lads, for getting the football. The racist abuse that Lyle Taylor on Twitter received, it needs calling out. And that's certainly true. I mean, I won't go into the specifics of it because it was just horrible to see. And Lyle Taylor, in fact, he's just sent a thank you to a Bradford City fan who sent his...
They've outed him. Fellow Bradford fans have outed who he is.
I'm not going to say that's for certain him, because I know that account itself is the one that supposedly has done it, does send a load of nonsense.
Oh, right, okay.
So they may just be naming someone for a laugh. But whoever it is, I mean, it's not hard for the police to find this sort of stuff. I mean, it's incredible that in this day and age, this sort of stuff gets sent on Twitter. But, you know, I say it's incredible. It's not the first time we've seen it, and it won't be the last. And it's not the first time Lyle's been on the receiving end of it recently as well.
You have to give some credence to what John Barnes said shortly after the thing with, was it Moldova?
Montenegro,
I beg your pardon, and Sterling and Hudson-Odoi, I think, and
Danny Rose. Well, yeah.
You know, they got some abuse, and everybody's up in arms. They should ban Montenegro, ban their fans, which they should, of course, they should also. But you know, we do need to get our own house in order because it's happening more and more. I'm not saying it's. I think it's less prevalent, generally speaking, but because of social media, it's more out there. People are more socially aware of it, and it's more, I think, it's more accessible than it has been for a very long time. So I actually do think, I'd like to think, at least maybe I'm being a bit rose-tinted, but I'd like to think as a society we're better. But there are still the scumbags that are out there, and this guy, you know, assuming it is a guy, proves that is the case. Mm. And what goes on around the grounds, up in Scotland, down here, everywhere, we're getting incidents. You know, the thing that happened at Birmingham and Villa. You know, it seems to me that the nutters seem to be bigger nutcases than they used to be.
It's for some reason football's always been a place where society's worst problems can show itself. The same as football is always a place that... where society's best will show itself. People coming together, people socialising, enjoying what they do. But also, it obviously attracts the wrong people. And it's not just a football problem. I saw a really good piece recently that said, if you kick a racist out of the football stadium, he's still a racist outside.
Outside of it, exactly.
So it's partly the sort of work that a club can do to, A, punish people who come into their stadium and do that sort of stuff, or you know, try and help oust someone on Twitter when they send that sort of abuse as well. That's part of it. But obviously, you know, the clubs will also, I mean, Charlton is a shining beacon in terms of going out into the community and trying to help educate people. It's not about telling them what's right and wrong. It's about being educated. If you're educated, then you know what you're talking about.
You're not born a racist. Yeah. There isn't a gene that makes you a racist or a scumbag. You're not born into that, so you are taught it.
Yeah.
Or you pick it up from somewhere. So, and I think everybody talks about, it's a nation's problem, and it is. So... everybody has to look at themselves. Every club has to look at itself. And you just mentioned it there. You know, we as a club, I think, do more than... it seems at least that we do more than most. And as long as we keep our house in order, as long as we, you know, we are always vigilant and it doesn't happen here, or at least if it does, that we stamp it out without question, without impunity, we ban them for life, not just for weeks, then... that hopefully spreads across, and if we can be the beginning of that, you know, and I think we already are and have been, then ultimately, you know, you'd like to think it will stamp itself out. Reality is, of course, that, you know, the nation is made up of an assortment of beings, and there'll always be scumbags. I mean, there will be. You just go, you know, in a perfect world, in a utopian world, you wouldn't get scumbags, but that's not going to happen. So it's how we control it and how we make sure that it doesn't affect us, and. Can we stamp it out 100%? Probably not, unfortunately. but in society, I'm talking about. But if we can at least eradicate it from football clubs to make sure that, you know, if people turn up and try it or people tweet it on the back of a football match, that they are punished heavily so they don't do it again, or at least not in association with football.
Hmm. Right, yesterday was Women's Team Day here at the Valley. Today they played a game away to London Bees, a 2-1 win for the girls, Liz Ajapi and Kit Graham with the goals. Now, importantly, Spurs lost, and they lost heavily to Man United, 5-1. Now, when Charlton played Man United last week, it was only a 2-1 defeat. So, and Spurs have lost two in a row now, so I'm just wondering, we're now 5 points off Spurs. We've still got to play them at the Oakwood. It's quite soon, actually. I think
it's only 4 points off Spurs now. They're on 39, we're on 35, aren't we?
I've got Spurs on 40 on the FA. Now, also, the BBC website is always dreadful for this
I've got the Women's Championship table in front of me. Man United 43 on top, Spurs second on 39, Durham have sneaked in 35.
Yeah, so but the BBC says 40 points for Spurs.
Well,
so
Spurs have won 13 games and have drawn none. That's 39, isn't it?
So I've got one draw for Spurs here. Okay. So one of these websites is incorrect, but basically, I think it's 5 points. I think they're 5 points, but it could be 4 points then off second, with Spurs still to come down to the Oakwood and the Charlton team.
That's a big game,
back in good form. I think that's next Sunday. We'll let you know.
But we can't ignore Durham, because they've sort of sneaked up under the radar, haven't they? Yeah. Durham into third.
Yeah. So interesting. That's going to be really interesting run into the season. Let's hope that the girls can get over the line. They can sneak into that top two in the last few games. I went down to see them play against Man United. They're unlucky to get beaten. So well done to Liz and to Kit as well for the goals today. Now, right, I'm going to tell you what happened with me and Gary Bowyer. Ollie, CFC Ollie has actually just tweeted saying, what happened with
your
Gary Bowyer?
Have
I missed
Bose.
It? Yeah. So it's not like we had a run in as such.
Can I paint a picture first before you do that?
Right. Right. Yeah,
because I'm sitting in here.
Painting pictures doesn't really work on a radio. Saying, you have to talk.
No, it does. Yes, it does. I'm in here interviewing Lee Bowyer. He's coming to me. And at the same time as Lee comes into here, normally Gary Bowyer or the opposition manager is actually normally first.
Yeah.
Because they want to get away. But he wasn't, so Bowyer came in, Lee Bowyer came in, and then as soon as Lee Bowyer came in to me, in walked Johnny Williams to have the press interview as a player, which is normally a bit later, because you normally have to wait for him to get out of the shower and all that old stuff. No sign of Gary Bowyer at that point. So I'm in here interviewing Lee, and then suddenly he appears from round the back. How on earth he got round the back, I have no idea.
Because he's gone through the first aid room.
Is that how he done it? So he went through the first aid room, which was round the back then, and appeared at the back of the press room rather than at the front, which he normally should, while the press and Louis Mendes was interviewing Johnny Williams. Now, all I can see, I can't see Johnny Williams in my position here. All I can see is the back of the room with Gary Bowyer stalking the end, like almost pacing back and forwards. He clearly wants to get the coach while you lot asking Johnny Williams questions. Now, Johnny Williams is a fascinating man, and you obviously wanted to ask him considerably more questions than Gary Bowyer was expecting.
It was so weird, because what you couldn't tell as well with Gary Bowyer was that he walked in and started snoring loudly as if he was bored. The interview with Johnny Williams, which will be out in the South London Press tomorrow, it started off badly, actually. I said a question, he couldn't hear me, and so I had to repeat it. So I was sort of on the back foot. I was like, oh God, you know, like you would sort of get your head back into the game, just trying to work out what's going on. All of a sudden, there's some loud snoring from the back of the room. I assumed that Scoop had fallen asleep. And then I turned around and realised it was Gary Bowyer, as if he was bored. And then sort of Johnny Williams sort of started laughing, so I assumed, oh, he must know him. Like I was sort of half thinking, like, where would they have been together? But it transpires that they don't know each other, so that was even weirder. And then, so, you know, we need to get some interesting stories for the paper. Johnny Williams, as you said, interesting man. There's lots of questions. What about your future? All this sort of stuff. What do you think about the playoffs? What do you think about the game? There's loads of stuff you want to ask him. He's a nice chap as well, and I was enjoying speaking to him. Now, a standard interview for a player, 5-6 minutes. I mean, that is standard. That's probably quite short, actually. Some of them going for probably, if Lyle Taylor's in, sometimes you get 15 minutes, because he loves it as well. But I was chatting away to Johnny, and, you know, got the interview back on track. He was saying some really interesting stuff, like, so you'll be able to read it tomorrow. And all of a sudden, I ask a question, and all of a sudden I hear some murmuring from behind me. Don't forget, I'm sat at the front of the room. And I thought, what's going on? Who's speaking while we're doing the interview? That's actually pretty poor to be doing that. And next thing I notice, when I ask him what turned out to be my last question, Gary Bowyer walked around sat next to me and whispered in my ear, if you ask one more question, and then did a slitty throat motion. I mean, it was all joking. It was all joking. But it was so awkward. And then I thought, well, how am I going to get my own back on Gary Bowyer? So I mean, hopefully you can hear this. This is how the interview ended with the most sarcastic football manager in the Football League, it turns out.
Just shows you it's a lottery, so as long as we make it, who knows.
I think Gary's getting impatient, he wants to ask a question, so
cheers Johnny, well done.
Cheers,
lad.
Cheers, mate.
You're welcome, anytime.
Cheers Johnny. So there we go. He didn't want to ask a question. He was just wanted to get me out of the room. But it was just so bizarre. When I'd had an awkward start to the interview, I just wanted to continue and try and carry on with what I was doing. I had Gary Bowyer.
I can only assume that the Bradford chef had cooked curry for the coach on the way home because he was desperate to get out of there. Yeah. But it did look funny. What is it with you and managers?
I know they always fall out with me, don't they? No, it's normally the home team manager though. It's normally our one, not their one. But yeah, that was a strange one. Right, we're going to have another quick break here. Still to come. Don't forget, I'm asking you about your Charlton faces because Headphones Norm got given the Pride of the Valley Award yesterday, and you can't go to a Charlton game and not see Headphones Norm.
Thoroughly deserved.
Yeah,
those.
And like I say, he's someone that, like I say, I can't. You see him everywhere. I remember speaking to him, like I say, a game against Arsenal. We'd lost 3-0. It would have been our last trip to Highbury. So what, 2004-ish, 2005? I remember bumping into Headphones Norm. He wouldn't have known who I was. And speaking to him and sort of going home. So I spoke to Headphones Norm today. Yeah, because, you know, it's just a face that you always see. And it's it was great to see him get the award yesterday. So I want to know who else is a face. Obviously, Sebo's up there. But there's plenty of others out there as well.
A lot of people would know faces without ever knowing names.
That's the thing. But you need, in that case, describe them. I mean, there's that old guy who sort of leans forward a bit and has a plastic bag. He's a face. I don't know his name. He's a face. So any faces like that you want to tell us about?
Be as polite as you possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, unless if you're describing Terry, just call him whatever. Yeah, but yeah, there we go.
Right, it's impossible to be polite.
Yeah, quick break. We'll be back here on Charlton Live in 30 seconds.
Momentum has been with Charlton. They've really played well this.
Oh, it's a quickly taken corner into Williams in the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Headed clear. Only as far as Saar gets something on it. So does Vedekele. Oh, cleared away. Abby Saar again.
Yes! Come on!
This time it was Vedekele. He got Vedekele's header. I don't know who it come off in the end. It's deflected in. It might have been Williams. I've no idea who that came off last. But it over the outstretched hand of Ramsdale. But it was Vedekele's header. John McEwen up for the dropping ball, but it took a deflection off of somebody, and it's in the back of the net.
Welcome back. So the last 10 minutes or so of this evening's Charlton Live. We've been looking back at yesterday's 1-0 win over Bradford City here at the Valley. Not the most exciting game, but I think we've done it to death. But we've got a couple of other subjects we're going to talk about. Daniel Trafin actually DM'd us this morning saying, big shout out to the Charlton Live massive, if people still say that. I mean, I've lost a lot of weight recently.
Well, no, I'm still massive.
Yeah, yeah. I've shed a few pounds for the bike ride, which if anyone wants to donate to prostate cancer, you can do so on...
you know when you're too big, because I have lost a considerable amount and I'm still fat.
Yeah, well, so have I, to be fair, and I still am. But I have lost a few pounds for the bike ride to Amsterdam that's coming up, actually. So if anyone wants to donate to prostate cancer, have a look at my Twitter page because I'm still short of my target.
Apparently he takes pork pies as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, at the end. but Daniel's saying, if Charlton get to the final, the playoff final, I'll be flying over from sunny Melbourne in Australia. Other Charlton fans thinking of doing the same?
Well, you maybe so, because you know on the CFC Player we have a range of listeners from all over the world, and so you know from America and Spain, Mexico, all over the place. So you'd expect to be a few flights to be arranged if we do get there.
It'd be if we get there. I dare say that'll be one of the things, because I mean, if we get there, that'll be great, and we'll talk about everything.
It'll almost be certain to be the one commentary that nobody will be listening to, because everybody will be there.
But if we get there, I'll be wanting to speak to so many fans for Charlton Live and stuff. I'm getting ahead of myself. Right, on the Charlton Live forum, Mendonca and Asda says, sorry, Louis, you're up against line of duty tonight. I'm going to have to listen on the podcast instead. I don't even know what that is, but Mendon
Grinner. That's probably a fair point.
Yeah, but if it's any good, let us know, because I always like new TV shows to look out for. But I'm sure you could have downloaded that from the iPlayer and listened to us live.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, Mendon Grinner. It's not good enough. But yeah, thanks for listening. Southwest Addicts, another 3 points and back to back clean sheets. One defeat in the last 14, 27 points out of the last 42 is a good return. The quality of the match, though, was very poor throughout. The lack of risk taken in the final third was disappointing. Having Page and Jake Forster-Caskey back before the end of the season would be a bonus. Yeah, we spoke about Page here. It'd be interesting with Jake if he does come back. I mean, is there a place in the team for him straight away? Well, it's interesting. I mean, he's coming into a very very busy midfield.
I mean, you'd expect... I mean, look, actually, when you mentioned about Lewis Page, I was looking at the subs bench, basically, to see who could fit in where. And don't forget, yesterday you had Christian Billick missing. So you have a subs bench of Jason Pearce, Josh Parker, Tariq Fosu, Darren Prattley, Chris Solly and George Lapsley. So who out of those? Let's assume that Christian Billick's coming back in. Let's say Lewis Page is available and Jake Forster-Caskey. So you've got three players from that subs bench that you've got to take out. Who would they be? You'd almost expect George Lapsley, to miss out, assuming Jake Forster-Caskey is 100% fit. Then what, Darren Prattley or Tariq Fosu? Who? Who drops? Who drops out?
Interesting. A headache that we're not used to having here at the Valley, whatsoever. We had an email in from Jonathan West as well from the Upbeat. Said he was hoping for 3 points yesterday, and that's exactly what we got. So I'm sure John will be very happy with that one. The Upbeat's walk is in 2 weeks' time, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, and yeah. I should be, but I'm not, unfortunately, because I've torn my cartilage. Or meniscus is the official median meniscus, the official title, but it's cartilage to me and you.
Yeah.
So I'll be there at the beginning, and I'll be there to meet you at the end, but I won't be doing the bit in the middle.
Yeah, well, that's the walk-in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but it will be a great day, so looking forward to that. Right on the forum, Sage said, first half, we created chance after chance and really ought to be at least 3-0 up. Taylor should have had a hat-trick. Igor also should have put his chance away from within the six-yard box. Another stat is that we've picked up 52 points since we last lost at home against Coventry in 27 games, so that's home and away, which is just shy of 2 per game. Good side we are, aren't we? That's what he said. I mean, yeah, we are. That's it. Our point return this season, as we mentioned, compared to last season, is brilliant.
And that's a very good call. I mean, I think as Charlton fans, it's our nature to think, right, everybody else is better than us, so how are we going to beat them? But actually, you have got, and that's a great stat and a great call, a great mention, because we are a good side. We wouldn't have done what we've done over the last 3 months. Haven't lost here since October. You know, we are a good side, and people are going to be scared of us. And maybe that's the approach we should be coming at, rather than. I know it's a human nature for Charlton fans to be in the other way, but you know, yeah, maybe we should be expecting other teams to be scared of us, and that's maybe why Bradford and likes of Burton and that play against us the way they do and nullify us the way they do, because they are actually scared of us.
Yeah, right. CFC Forever says a very average performance. Second half was dismal. Against any other opponents, we would not have secured the 3 points. Sunderland and Portsmouth going 120 minutes against each other today in the Checker Trade Trophy final will be a bonus.
Gutted about that, yeah.
Yeah, for us. Ray said it was shocking that Mendon Grinasters is listening on a podcast and not live because of line of duty. He said, no excuses, Sky Plus or catch up. Go, Louis, go, Louis. See, I'm with Ray there.
Yeah.
He's doing a bike ride with us himself, actually, so I look forward to finding out how his training's going. I know he's had to be off the bike for a while, but he'll be fine. Because I know he's made a stir.
You know what he's
going to
do, actually. You know, Ray's going to bring the dogs with him.
That's what I said.
They're going to pull him
round. Yeah, like a
husky.
Yeah, like a land husky, it, yeah. Like, if there's such a thing. Yeah.
I know what I know what his game is.
Yeah. Right. We'd tweet in from London Geezer as well about the incident with Lyle Taylor, the racist incident online. And he said, well said, Terry, on what you said. Remember going back to the 70s and the 80s, Charlton was a breeding ground for racists. Charlton have done a great job stamping it out. And
yeah, I'd say that's across the football, not just Charlton. But cheers, Mike, I appreciate it. But you know, and he's right. The 70s and 80s, it wasn't just Charlton. It was everywhere in football. So the fact that we are where we are now is huge. You know, huge congratulations and respect to go to the trust and the club.
Yeah, right. As we said, headphones, Norm. Pride of the Valley. They give those out every. I mean, they've given out to some really excellent Charlton fans throughout the course of the season. I saw Dr. Kish got one a couple of weeks ago as well. I think you can nominate your friends. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but there's so many people I'd recognise who I would count as a Charlton face. But Norman, Headphones Norm, is the ultimate Charlton face. He's been going for so long. Obviously, he's got quite a distinctive clothing situation going on there with his Davy Crockett hat, the headphones.
I think it's a Russian hat, isn't it? It's a Yushchenko hat.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, it's a great look. And like I say, it's a face you always look forward to seeing on your long journeys up north. And like I say, makes you just feel that little bit more comfortable when you travel away. So, I mean, Terry, have you got any at the top of your mind?
Well, some of the ones that spring to mind are probably people have already been recognised. You know, the likes of Gene Hewlin, who was, you know, probably. And the thing is, sadly, I'm going back a few years now when they would have been week in, week out. They're less so now because of the situation of the club. So, sadly, we've lost a few. Who would have been week in, week out, and you'd see them home and away every single week. And I think we've lost a few of those because of, you know, the regime that currently is in charge of us and the situation at the club. And that's one of the saddest things of the whole thing, you know, that not only have we probably lost a bit of a generation, we've lost some of the real recognised faces that used to go week in, week out.
Yeah, in fact, Amy tweeted in earlier. I'll just try and find this now. Faces. Not sure about the face as such, but you often hear a rendition of Jerusalem. That'll be Mads. anyone in particular who was at Accrington Stanley away will remember that rendition. But yeah, Mads is certainly a face that you recognise. Kyle Andrews and his dad, surely faces. Yeah, the two Andrews. Kyle obviously walking around a pitch now, but his dad is someone you'd recognise. Even if you didn't realise it was Kyle's dad, purely because he's there every week. Yeah. That sort of face. Great. I mean, from my own group, I mean, many people seem to know Benji for some reason.
Well, no, Benji's up there
because he goes everywhere, but he talks to everyone as well.
Benji, you can't go to a game where Benji's at and not know he's there.
Yeah, because you can hear him from the other side of the stadium. Flynn Diesel, Martin Flynn is a face as well.
Yep.
And there's plenty on the forum as well. So Vince has been mentioned. I mean, we had him on the show last year for the anniversary back to the Valley game because he ran on
and snogged killer
Hales. So I mean, he's a face a lot of people will know. Addicted says Dennis is a face that people would know. Les Turner, who I think is the guy I mentioned earlier, but I'm not certain. There's a guy called John as well who I see often at away games. He often sits in the home end, actually. I remember outside Scunthorpe and Doncaster this season, he just suddenly walked past us and waved at us.
I used to do that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably the wrong way. Because a lot of my decisions about going were quite, and a lot of occasions were last minute. So I spent a lot of time in neutral sides, I suppose, rather than the home ends, but even some of the home games, like West Ham at home, West Ham at Upton Park, and being in with the West Ham was probably the quietest 90 minutes I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah. Right, Maltese Paul's got a mention on the forum from Guna Hater. Ollie Lewis, of course, Sebo's brother's there. Royal Navy Paul, my cousin, his fault I started going. Dr. Kish, two blokes named Clive, Norman's mate Dave, and Ian Cartwright's got a mention as well. All faces that you go to an away game and see. I might be saying these names and you don't know who these people are, but you would recognise.
You'd recognise a face.
100%. It's just bizarre how, like, I recognise when I used to sit in my season ticket seat in the northwest quadrant. There used to be this guy that sat in front of me, and I would never, a few rows in front of him, never would have spoken to him, but now you see him, he sits in the west now, it's just, oh, it's face, chump face. And it's stuff like that.
Do you know, it's even one of the weirder things about that, and I know we're running towards the end here, but is when you see a Charlton face at the Valley or even away, and it happened to me on one occasion, I'm not going to go into the full details, but basically, when you're on holiday, and you see a Charlton face.
Yeah.
That is just bizarre.
Yeah, or spotting Charlton faces elsewhere in London. It's so confusing. I work near Westminster in my day job, and I was walking towards... it was a couple of months ago, walking down towards Westminster Bridge, and a Charlton face came the other way. We've spoken to each other before. It's just one of those, all right. That's all you need, and that's it's always fun when you see him away from the ground as well. Right, we have run out of time, as you mentioned, Terry. It's flown by again. Thanks to all of you who've got involved with tonight's Charlton Live. We've gone back to the hour and a half Sunday show. We did try the hour a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it worked personally.
We got too much to say and we talk too much. It's never going to happen.
It was a test. It didn't work. We're sticking with the hour and a half. Thanks to everyone who gave their feedback for that. I think
although we're going down to zero next week.
Zero next week. So on average, an hour for the last 2 weeks. But no, there we go. Right, so yeah, thanks for everyone who listened and to who got involved. We will do a big match preview on Thursday, so myself, Tom and Nay for a combination thereof will be here. Terry, you've been here this evening, thanks for coming in.
No problem, thank you. Just remember, mothers like Charlton too, that's why we're here.
Yes, exactly. I went out for Mother's Day lunch instead of dinner so I could do the show as both. Yeah, because my mum would be devastated if there was no Charlton Live tonight.
Exactly that.
She doesn't listen. Right, this has been Charlton Live. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for joining in this evening. We'll be back here on Thursday. We shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.